he raises the question as to why is it that the minhag is that we start saying slichus, either the minhag of the Sfardim is to start saying beginning of Chodesh Elul, and the minhag of the Ashkenazim is to start saying slichus at a certain point where you'll always get a minimum of 4 days of slichus in before Rosh Hashanah, like this year. In other words, you start on the Motzi Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. If from Motzi Shabbos until Rosh Hashanah there will be 4 days, but if Rosh Hashanah comes out to be at the beginning of the week and there's not going to be 4 days, then you start the previous Motzi Shabbos and you get even more than 4 days. He asks, where does this minute come from that you need at least 4 days? And there's a number of there are very many different answers that are given in the Rishonim and the Acharonim to this, but he says something which is very interesting, and it's a chiddush. He says that the whole concept of slichus and the whole reason why Klal Yisrael get together and they say slichus before Rosh Hashanah is simply a practice run. That's what it is, he says. In other words, it's to get us into the system of davening before Rosh Hashanah. The tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah revolve around Tzchenes, Malchus, Shefres, which are all, if one understands them properly, basically towards the idea of preparation, of Kabbalah Zohar Malchus Shemayim, of Hamlocha, of the Ribbono Shel'Olam, as a preparation for Yom Kippur, as a preparation for Slicha Mechila. So the whole point of the Tefillah is to ask from the Ribbono Shel'Olam that he should grant us certain things, and the individual has to know how to daven, and you have to get into the mode of davening. And in order to get into the mode of davening, the minhag arose that 3 or 4 days prior to Rosh Hashanah we should start saying special tefillahs which revolve around slicha and revolve around mechila. It's simply a practice run to get us into the concept of tefillah. So these days, these 3 or 4 days, which are the days of slichas, basically are days where the emphasis in the eyes of the Rishonim are an emphasis on tefillah. So maybe it's kedai for a few moments to talk about tefillah. One of the first tefillahs we say in the slichas, which we start saying tonight in the piece which starts the Chashem Atztoka along with Boishas Aponim, which is basically the first introduction to the slichas that we say immediately after Ashrei, in the middle we say the following: Nachapsa derachenu, nachkeira, nachapsa derachenu v'nachkeira v'nashuva eilecha. We're going to examine ourselves, we're going to analyze ourselves, we're going to try and do tshuva. Ki yimincha pshuta lekabel shovim, because you're the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're always ready to accept somebody who's willing to do tshuva. Lei bechesed v'lei b'maisim banu lefanecha. We really haven't got much to come to you with. We haven't really got many schuyes. We didn't really do very much that we were meant to do. We didn't really keep any of the decisions that we made last year. In fact, we're a bunch of losers, basically. Kedalim ukiroshim dofaknu dlasecha. Basically, kedalim, like paupers, kiroshim, like beggars, dofaknu dlasecha, we're knocking at your door. One of the greatest fundraisers of the last 100 years was the founder of Ponovej Yeshiva, the Ponovej Rov. Besides being the Godel Hador and besides being the Ponovej Rov, he also happened to be a tremendously successful fundraiser. The man who raised hundreds of millions of dollars for his projects. And he used to say the following. He used to say, nobody understands how I hate having to go out to raise money. And he said, on every single occasion when I have to go out, I'm wandering around the world and I'm raising money, and I have to see somebody. He says, and I go up these tall buildings to the 50th floor to somebody, the 52nd floor. He says, as I'm going up on the elevator, I always say the same tefillah to the Ribbono Shel Olam. says, I always pray the same thing. He says, what do I say? I say, Ribbono Shel Olam, do me a favor. Make sure this guy's not at home. Because I don't want the bizyonis of having to ask him for money. But I have to do my ishtadlis. So I'm going up the elevator, that's my ishtadlis. You do your bit, make sure he's not home, and then find a way of sending me the money. He says, usually it doesn't work, and unfortunately he's there, and I have to go in. People who are paupers, people who are destitute, people who are beggars, by nature, psychologically, the psychology of the beggar and the pauper, the psychology of the person who is destitute, is that he's timid. He's embarrassed about it, and he's timid about it. And even when he has to ask somebody for money, the way in which he asks for money is in a very shy, in a very timid manner. So I once heard from Rav Shlomo Shadron many years ago. He said, if that's the case, then what's the pshat? Here in the tefillah that we say, because the expression that we use is, Kedali Mekoroshim, Dofaknud Losecho. Now that expression, Dofaknud Losecho, the Hebrew expression of Dofaknud Losecho means we're hammering away at the door. He said, that's not the derech of somebody who is a dal and somebody who is a rash. Somebody who is a dal, who is a pauper and a rash and a beggar, he doesn't come to a wealthy man's house and hammer away at the door. So he knocks very timidly with the hope that the guy's not at home, as the Ponajirov said, and that he did his ishtadlis and the Ribbono Shel Olam will send him the money. But he doesn't stand there hammering away at the door. So Rav Shlomo said, Gvaldik Avort. He said, when does a person do that? When does a person hammer away at the door? When he knows that this is his last chance. He's dying. He's dying of hunger. If somebody won't give him a piece of bread, he is going to die. And this is the last door that he can knock on. Because if he doesn't get a piece of bread at this door, he's going to die. Then he will hammer away at the door, even if the psychology of a beggar and the psychology of a pauper and the psychology of somebody who's destitute is that he knocks timidly. But if you're dying, if this is it, last chance, then the dofaknud losecho. Said Rav Shlomo, that's what we say tonight when we start saying slichas. What we say tonight when we start saying slichas is that kedali mekoroshim, basically we're coming with nothing, but this is it. Because there is nothing else. If the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't answer us now, we are finished. There is no other option. And when there's no other option, the dofaknud losecho, we can force the Ribbono Shel Olam to answer. We can hammer away at the door until he answers us. Last month, there was a Gemara that a lot of us learned. A very strange Gemara when you think about it. In fact, it's a Mishnah. It starts with a Mishnah, and there's a few lines of Gemara in Makkos. Mishnah in Makkos says, Daf Yud Aleph, that somebody who's Rotzeach B'Shoigeg, somebody who kills B'Shoigeg, goes to the Ari Miklot. How long does he stay in the Ari Miklot? He stays in the Ari Miklot until the Kohen Gadol dies. When the Kohen Gadol dies, he gets let out of the Aron Miklat, doesn't have to stay there anymore, and the girl Adam can't do anything to any man anymore. So the entire period where the Ritzer B'Shoigeg is basically jailed in the Aron Miklat is until the Kohen Gadol dies. Says the Mishnah, Lefichoch, therefore, im oiseihen shel kohanim, the mothers of the Kohanim Gedolim, Mesapkes lohen michya v'ksus. They used to give anything that the Rotzeach B'Shoigeg needed during the course of time that he was in the Ir Miklot, whether it was clothing, whether it was food, whatever it was that they needed, the Yemeiseihem Shel Kohanim used to give it to the Rotzeach B'Shoigeg, Kedei Shelo Yispalalu Al Bneihem Sheyamusu. Because the natural tendency of the Ritzel B'Shoigeg is what should be his main tefillah? His main tefillah should be the Kohen Gadol should die. The minute the Kohen Gadol dies, all will go out. Therefore, the mothers of the Kohanim Gedolim used to give food, clothing, everything that the Ritzel B'Shoigeg needed in order he shouldn't die, that the Kohen Gadol should die. Think for a moment. It's a very strange Mishnah. The Sheva Levi was the Muvcha Mikol HaShvatim. Sheva Levi was unique, singular, amongst all the other Shvatim. It was the most Chosh of the Shevet. Within Sheva Levi, the most choshev within Shevet Levi were the Kohanim. Within the Kohanim, the most choshev were those who were Eved in the Beis HaMikdash. Amongst those who were Eved in the Beis HaMikdash, there were also varying levels of Aveda that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. And those who did the more important Aveda were more choshev than those Kohanim who did the lesser important Aveda. And amongst the Kohanim, who was the most choshev of all the Kohanim? The Kohen Gadol. Hastas, the Kohen Gadol Be'etim was the most important Jew that existed at that point in time. V'haraya, the only individual who has the right once a year to go lifnai v'lifnim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Kohen Gadol. No other Jew got to that darga that they can do that. The only Jew who can attain kapora and who can attain mechila, who can attain slicha for the entire Klal Yisrael, is the Kohen Gadol. He says the Kohen Gadol is the most choshev Jew that exists in Klal Yisrael and is needed by Klal Yisrael, is necessary for Klal Yisrael more than anybody else. And yet, on the other side, you have a guy who's a Ritzach B'Shegeg. He's a murderer. He murdered somebody B'Shegeg. And because he murdered somebody B'Shegeg, he's in a near miklot. How do you define the guy who's in the near miklot? The Ritzach B'Shegeg, how is he defined? Says the Gemara in Makkos on that Mishnah. The Gemara says, actually before the Mishnah, on Daf Yud Amud Beis, the Mishnah is Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. On Yud Amud Beis, says the Gemara, how do we define a Ritzach B'Shegeg? Says the Gemara, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Shmuel, Perikaf Dalet, that a Ritzach B'Shegeg is a Rasha. Mereshoyim Yetzei Resha is talking about a Ritzach B'Shegeg. Why is a Ritzach B'Shegeg a Rasha? Says the Gemara, I'll explain to you why he's a Rasha. B'mei HaKosas Medaber. What is Be'etzim a Ritzach B'Shegeg? Says the Gemara, Shnei B'nei Odom. There were two people, Hogus and Nefesh. They both killed somebody. One killed the Mezid and one killed the Shegeg. The only problem was there were no Eidim. If there would have been Eidim, then the Ritzach B'Mezid would have been put to death. Eidim would have come to Bezdin and Bezdin would have put him to death as a murderer. The Ritzach B'Shegeg would have been sent to an near miklot, but there were no Eidim. There's no Eidim, you can't do anything at all. So the Ritzach B'Shegeg and the Ritzach B'Mezid, you can't do anything to them. Says the Gemara, so what happens? How does the Ribbono Shel Olam arrange things that everything should work out the way it should be? Says the Gemara, very simple. What happens is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mazminam Lepunda Gechod. The Ribbono Shel Olam arranges that these two guys, the Ritzach B'Shegeg and the Ritzach B'Mezid, arrive at the same place together. And the Ribbono Shel Olam also arranges that the following should happen. Zeh Shehoreg B'Mezid, that the guy who was Hoyrig B'Mezid ends up sitting underneath a ladder. V'zeh Shehoreg B'Shegeg, and the guy who was Hoyrig B'Shegeg, he ends up coming down the ladder, falling off the ladder, landing on the guy who was Ritzach B'Mezid and killing him. And this time, they're Eidim. So the guy who was Ritzach B'Mezid, he ends up dead. And the guy who's Ritzach B'Shegeg ends up in an ear miklot. The Ribbono Shel Olam arranged everything. He says any guy who gets to an ear miklot is a guy who either he was the Ritzach B'Shegeg with Eidim or he was Ritzach twice. He was Ritzach B'Shegeg twice, otherwise he won't end up in it. Come to the Gemara, he won't end up in an ear miklot. So you've got Kohen Gadol, who's the Mufcha of the whole of Klal Yisrael. He's the most important person in Klal Yisrael. He is the most highest darga that exists in Klal Yisrael, and you've got the Ritzach B'Shegeg, whom a Rishon Yetzei Resha, the Gemara says is a Rasha, who was a Ritzach B'Shegeg twice, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is only a Mizgalgel Chiv Alidei Chayev. So if he was a Ritzach B'Shegeg twice, the reason why he was a Ritzach B'Shegeg twice, that's why the Gemara calls him a Rasha, because the Mahuza is a Ritzach, and he's in a Lir Miklot. And the mother of the Kohen Gadol is running to him every day and saying, if you want another plate of chant, maybe you want some new clothing. Now we've got a new modern tie for you. It's 1 centimeter wide. He'll bring it to you. Now you can. Now you look the way you should look, right? Now you look. Now you really look the way the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants you to look. This Ritzel B'Shoigeg is going to daven, and the Kohen Gadol is going to daven. And if the Ritzel B'Shoigeg davens and his mother of the Kohen Gadol doesn't bribe him, he's going to daven that the Kohen Gadol is going to die, and boom, the Kohen Gadol is going to die. Why? Why is the tefillah of the Ritzel B'Shoigeg stronger than the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol? It's not my kasha. The Gemara asked the kasha. The Gemara in Makkos asked this kasha. The Gemara in Makkos says, what's going on? Gemara in the Mishnah says, what's going on here? How come that the Ritzel B'Shoigeg is going to daven and his tefillah is going to work and they get the Kohen Gadol? How are you talking? How can there be such a thing? Says the Gemara, because the Kohen Gadol has also an element of rishus about him, and that's why his tefillah is not miskabel. In a certain way, says the Gemara, he's even worse than the Ritzel B'Shoigeg. Why? Because how come that in a place where there's a Kohen Gadol, there's a guy who is Ritzach B'Shoigeg? Surely the Kohen Gadol, what should be his tefillah every day? What should the Kohen Gadol be davening? Surely the Kohen Gadol should be davening. They should have, the Rebbeinu Shlomo should be merachim on the generation. The Kohen Gadol, says the Gemara, should have in mind when he's davening that no scenario which is negative should happen in his generation. And if there was a Ritzicha B'Shoigeg, says the Gemara, he didn't daven that there shouldn't be a Ritzicha B'Shoigeg. And if he didn't daven that there shouldn't be a Ritzicha B'Shoigeg, he deserves to be punished. We see here, Dovah Niflamoid. There's a miracle that he said to us by the Gemara. If the Ritzach B'Shoigeg is misparo that the Kohen Gadol will die, the Kohen Gadol will die. And that's why the mother of the Ritzach B'Shoigeg has to bribe him that he shouldn't daven. If the Kohen Gadol is misparo that there should not be a Ritzach B'Shoigeg in his generation, there will not be a Ritzicha B'Shoigeg in his generation. So what do we see here from the Gemara? That if a person davens, the Rebbeinu Shlomo answers. Mukhach from the Gemara, that if a person davens, the Rebbeinu Shlomo, if the Kohen Gadol would daven, there wouldn't be a problem. If the Ritzicha B'Shoigeg would daven, there won't be a problem. Simple. Tefillahs get answered. Chaim Volozhin writes, famous Reb Chaim Volozhin, in Nefesh HaChaim, writes the following. He says, "Emes bilti shum sofik klal." He says that the absolute truth is, without any doubt whatsoever, Shim hoya ha'olam kuloi mikotzei ad kotzeihu ponu chas v'sholem avrega achas mamish me'esek isbeinu shalom v'teira l'rega. If from one end of the world to the other end of the world there would be 1 second where there would be no teira at all being learnt in the world, hayu nechrovim kol ha'olam yisrael yainim v'tachteinim v'hayu the Tohu Vavohu. Then the whole world would be destroyed and everything would go back to Tohu Vavohu the way it was before creation. Cain, the Ashpo and the Ur, whether it will be in a Riboy or whether it will be in a Miut Chas V'Sholem, Hakol Rak all depends on the amount of Torah that we learn. Ve'af gam ish echad mi Yisrael levad. And even one Jew alone, Rav Koichei Lahamid L'Kayim Eskola Elomis, the Abriya Bichlola, he can be the reason why the entire world exists. Av Yidei Iskoi V'Yisbein Anusei B'Teyu HaGdei Sholishmo. If he's occupied in learning Torah. And he brings a tremendous amount of Makairis to it. And then, in Ruach HaChaim, in his Pirush and Pirkei Avos, he says the following. The Mishnah says, Al Shleisha Dvarim Olam Oimed, Torah the Aveda, what does Aveda mean? Aveda means Tefillah. So it's a combination of two things. It's Torah and it's Aveda. So how does it work? So I've said a number of times, Rav Matisyahu, when he spoke here once in Yeshiva, said over B'Shem Rebellia, it's not published in his Sefer. Rav Matisyahu maintains he heard it from him. It's the only source that we have. He says he heard it from him. So he said the following. He said, what's the pshat in this Rav Chaim Volozhin? He said the pshat is the following, and I've said it many times. A person can daven his entire life. If he's not Isaac Batera, his fillers don't get answered. A person can be Isaac Batera his entire life. If he doesn't daven, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is not going to give him anything. The way it works is the following. If a person is Isaac Batera, the Rebbeinu Shlomo sends down what the person needs. But it hovers. He doesn't send it down to the person into his hands. He sends it down and it hovers above the person. In order that this hashpah that the Ribbono Shel'Olam sends down, the person should actually receive, there you need tefillah. That's what tefillah does. Tefillah pulls it into your Dalai Lama's. Tefillah pulls it to you. The Eisek HaTorah, the learning of Torah, that brings down the hashpah. The tefillah brings it to you. The Gemara in Makkah says very clearly that if a person is mispalel, the Ribbono Shel Olam answers. Why? Because the Hashpah has been brought down already through what? Through the Eisek HaTorah. Person learns Torah, he brings down the Hashpah. Therefore, if he davens, all it does is it just brings it another couple of meters into your Dalai Lama's. But we need both. As Miri says, that these 4 days are a practice run. We have a practice run before Rosh Hashanah. We have to know two things. If you want Hashpah from the Ribbono Shel Olam, there has to be Eisek HaTorah. If we're not learning, then there won't be Hashpahs. And if we don't daven, then the Hashpahs will come down, but they won't reach us. So we need a combination of both. And if we bring down the Hashpahs through learning, and we bring it to us through davening, then the net result is the Ribbono Shel Olam answers. And as long as we're hammering away at that door, as long as it's Faknut L'Osecha, Kedali Mekuroshim, the Ribbono Shel Olam will answer us. So we've got 4 days now, 5 days now of learning and of davening in order that the Ribbono Shel Olam should answer us, and our tefillah should be discovered.